Welcome to The Squid of Despair, unscripted musings on business life, leadership, creativity, transformation, and all the myriad of other work-life events that get in the way of a good night's sleep. Hosted by David Ayling Smith and Peter Taylor.
Hello, Daz.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited. And we should be excited because we heard from our listener, Mike B.
Yeah, no, it was good to hear from Mike, wasn't it? And what did Mike B have to say, Peter?
Just nice things about us, just, you know, complimentary about the podcast and the interaction between us. And it was just generally nice to hear from someone.
No, that was nice. Appreciate it, Mike. And also, I'm amused that you're not using real names after the Barry Cusworth incident.
His name was, Barry. Oh, yeah, that's the code, isn't it? Barry Cusworth.
Yes.
I was about to correct you with the name then. Oh, dear. Yes, Barry. Barry, yeah. We like to keep a degree of mystique out there about our listener. So
I suppose that's right. And I see you've been travelling since I saw you last, Peter.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, a little bit of travelling. Popped over to the Dominican Republic for a quick trip, as you do.
Very good. How was that?
It was fantastic. I presented the keynote at their conference, enjoyed the sunshine, didn't enjoy the very long flight there and back, but hey-ho, that's the price you have to pay for such fame.
For being an international project management superstar?
Yeah, that's the one. I see, we're not pitching my books this podcast.
Well, actually, that's exactly where I was going to go next, and I was going to ask if you were going to get a book out of the trip, but...
No book out of the trip. No. I've actually just clicked the final edit submission on my future book, which will come out next year. But I'm not going to talk about that yet. You know, let's save that for 2023. But you know me quite well, because I kind of like the creative stuff, and then when the whole, like, somebody else looking at it and critiquing it and editing, I just hate that period. And
I know. Well, you are sensitive, aren't you, Peter?
Yeah, I am. Anyway, look, I think it's time to say the phrase, and it's
So it's my turn this week to say. Yes. What's the squid of the day, Peter?
Aha! Well, I think it's a good one. And I'm going to start with a quote by Terry Pratchett. And Mrs. T and I are both fans of Terry Pratchett, the author, with his series of Discworlds. I don't know. Are you a Discworld Pratchett fan or not?
I am, although I've not read them for years, and I haven't read many. But yeah, I like the zaniness of it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a Terry Pratchett quote, which is going to frame the squid of the day. And it's this. I'll be more enthusiastic about encouraging thinking outside the box when there's evidence of any thinking going on inside it. this is a classic Terry Pratchett style. That's why I love him. And I'd like to explore three questions between us. One, should we get it right in the box first? Two, what is the best way to think outside the box? And three, how far away from the box should we go? So whilst you ponder that, I'm going to just come up with a kind of acknowledgement that if we know that if everybody's just carried on with the way the things are doing, if nobody thought outside the box, if you like, then there wouldn't be any innovation or improvement at all. You know, if Edison had just shrugged and figured out that things were good enough with gas lamps, light bulbs, electricity and stuff like that, would never have been developed, or certainly by him. He thought outside the box. And because he did that, the world is a much brighter place, you could say. So I think this reality of things cannot go on unchanged. It's a bit like sharks swimming, isn't it? The thing about sharks have got to keep swimming, and businesses have got to keep moving and growing and changing to survive. And we can all name many, many businesses that have disappeared as a result of not doing that. Whereas other ones, and I think everybody always goes to this, isn't it? An example of Apple and the whole creation of the iPods and the iPhones, and just really forward thinking decisions that were about as out of the box as you could possibly get. So that's the kind of thing I want to talk about, because our world exists within the box and outside the box, doesn't it?
It does. It's a great topic, and it's such a big area that I'm struggling to know where to start, really. So three questions. So thinking in the box. Wait,
should we get things in the box right before we start thinking outside the box?
Well, I think they serve different purposes, don't they, thinking within and without the box. So do you want to define the box for me, Peter, just to start?
Oh, absolutely not. Well, the box is just doing your business as usual and doing it as best as you possibly can. Outside the box could be driving to new products, new markets, new clients, new opportunities, acquisitions, all of that stuff that exists in our world.
Yeah, so I think the way we work inside the box is very different to outside the box. And I think you're sort of pushing me towards the subject that I was going to do next week. So thanks, Peter, around the use of creativity in business life, because that's something that continues to intrigue me. And as you know, was the source of my only one non-published book, The Creative Cookbook. And I think, and we've also talked about management and leadership in this context, haven't
We
we?
have.
About how management is about reducing the variables and keeping things under control. And perhaps that's what it is to be to in the box. You're trying to be predictable, you're trying to be efficient. And maybe a lot of the sort of the schemas around improvement and incremental improvement live in that box, don't they? It's about rules, it's about delivering as quickly as you can against those rules. And of course, there's a place for it. Otherwise, it would be complete chaos. And you have to have predictable processes in order for some things to work. So I think thinking in the box is probably a prerequisite for thinking outside the box.
Oh, I get that, and that's true. I guess that is true. I mean, as you also know, I've been working with a tech startup, and I can argue that they are in existence because they only think outside the box and they don't think inside the box yet. They haven't got to that point in their evolution.
Well, and that's interesting, is it? Because I think, thinking outside the box or creativity around technology in our space is actually synonymous, really, with software development, I think, isn't it? But I suspect that if you're thinking outside the box without the relationship to the box, I suspect it's going to be hard to find. You've almost got a solution which you're looking for a problem for it to solve, aren't you? It feels like you're probably working. You're probably better off going from out to in than instead of from in to out, rather than out to in, if that makes sense.
And I guess it does depend where you are. I mean, tech startups can be very revolutionary in their thinking, and they can move very agile in the way that they work. And they don't have the I'm trying not to use the word burden, but the responsibility, if you like, of an ongoing business, because they are fully funded in a very different way than our own organization at the moment. We have to continue as a business. We have to invest in our people. We have to continue to service our clients. We have to provide revenue to the market effectively. And that is the responsibility. But equally, we know there are parts of the business who are being very out of the box thinking, because they've got to see where the future lies for the whole sort of human capital management world that we exist in.
And so I mean let's explore this sort of the in to out thinking, but also just I was just thinking about what I just said about out to in. Does that work? And I wonder whether that's what, for example, pure science is about. The various apocryphal tales that we put a man on the moon and what we got out of it was Teflon pans. At some point when boundaries are pushed and things are produced that are new, there is a sort of a body of work, isn't there, to take that newness and say, so what happens if I apply that newness into a different field? And actually, we see that a bit in the business world, don't we, where best practices from one industry are then applied to another in a completely different industry. Looking at sort of manufacturing techniques. Do you remember when the whole sort of the Kanban process came in with just-in-time manufacturing, and how that technique of having sort of physical markers to trigger a different process actually then got carried through into administrative process flows? And so we learnt from just-in-time manufacturing how to, get things done quicker and more smartly in an administrative way as well. So I wonder whether that is actually an out-to-in sort of application of thinking outside the box to a completely different box, I suppose. That's what I'm saying, isn't it?
I think, well, there's lots this is sparking lots of things, and I hoped it would. And I'm going to go. Where am I going to go? I don't know. I made three notes there, so I'm going to go back to your space analogy there about Teflon pans, etc. Because you know you could probably argue that, and this again is a pretty old one, but you could probably argue that the Americans invented the space pen to deal with writing in gravity free situations. And of course, the humor is the Russians used to use the pencil. One is perhaps out of the box, and the other one is in the box, but they both serve the same purpose.
Yeah. And, but, you know, going back to your, you know, what's the purpose of thinking outside the box? I think that sort of metaphor is, it talks about the fact that in order to do something differently, you've got to break through existing ways of thinking and ways of working, haven't you? And the reason that's important, for all the things you said, you've got to have, you know, we've talked about it before, you've got to have creativity and diversity in your ideas. Otherwise, your business will continue to be consistent and go down a path. And you know, the world changes, doesn't it? And you get out competed, or we see this in nature as well, that it's the variation within nature that allows it to evolve through climate changes, through changes in pollution levels and that sort of things. And so you have success in the middle of the normal distribution curve for a population. And then the populations on the outside that have got, you know, larger legs or bigger eyes or darker colors don't do very well because they're outliers. But at some point, something changes, and that difference gives them a competitive advantage. And I think what businesses try and do with out-of-the-box thinking is to keep furnishing themselves with ideas whose time may not have come yet, but it might have come. It might be a response to a problem. Or I think the better companies are just continually doing this. They're continually looking at themselves. But I think as human beings, to generate ourselves from that in-the-box thinking to out-of-the-box thinking, you know, that's the creative thing, isn't it? That's the magical bit that, you know, artists have to go through. And in business, we sort of, you know, we have the squids of despair, don't we? We have the brainstorming techniques. We have a whole range of mechanisms that we use to generate new thinking, which I think is an interesting discussion to get into.
Oh, dear. So Squid of Despair is an out of the box podcast, I think we should go.
Yeah,
so,
I think it is.
Well, let's go back to that. So my other thought was, all right, if we're talking about thinking inside the box and thinking outside the box, does that mean the role of management is overseeing the stuff inside the box and the old role of leadership is the stuff outside the box, or is that just too binary?
Well, we have talked about that paradigm before, and I think there's something there, but obviously leadership has so many different characteristics. But I think, you know, some of the characteristics of leadership about openness, about keeping things open longer than you would if you're in a controlling mindset, sort of allow for this. But it probably there's so much more to leadership than out of the box thinking, and there's so much more to management to keeping things under control. But I think it probably is a bit too simplistic to say that.
But where
I'd like to take this is the challenge of original thought when you're in a position where you need to develop something new. And if I can refer back to the Creative Cookbook, which is, have I mentioned that already, Peter?
No, I don't think so, not this podcast.
one of the techniques that is used in out of the box thinking is randomness. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of randomness in idea generation is to proactively and explicitly break the chains that we hold around our thought processes, because our thoughts are, and our ideas, you know, are built from our experiences and our perceptions. And whilst that's completely a good thing and understandable, if you're going to do something completely new that's, let's say, never been done before, you've got no reference point for it. And therefore, you can't refer to things you know and you've done, because by definition, you'll be extrapolating something that already exists. And so if that's the challenge, how do you think about something that's never been thought of before? And there are some really interesting techniques to do that in a creative way. You know, one of them is the whole random word technique. You know, a songwriters used this, didn't they, where they would cut words out of a magazine and put them on the floor and put them around until they look nice. And, you know, some of the most inspiring lyrics of our time were created in that way. And so you've got randomness to sort of create associations that you wouldn't naturally have come to yourself. And then there's the sort of forced randomness. Have you ever heard of the excursion technique, Pete? Have you ever used that?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
So it's basically where it's a problem solving methodology where you use analogies to create sort of new thought patterns. And you basically create an analogy for the thing you're thinking about and then retrofit that analogy to a new situation.
Oh.
So, for example, you might be going on a journey. Your analogy might be that the problem you're trying to solve is going on a journey. And you talk about the journey you're going on and what you can see in your mind's eye in terms of the streams you're crossing, the bridges you're building, the mountains you're climbing. And you try and link those back to the problem you're trying to solve. And so you use those sort of abstract concepts of things in the landscape to problems in the real world. And sometimes that gives you a new relationship to it. So, for example, well, we're about to climb this mountain. We've never climbed this mountain before. Actually, why don't we get someone that knows how to climb mountains? And so, you know, that might send you off. I know that sounds obvious, but it might send you off to find an expert in that particular area, which might be nothing to do with your business, but actually can give an insight into how that particular technique is used in other areas. We've talked about the six hats before, haven't we? How you can approach out-of-the-box thinking by assuming different thought processes and look at the same problem from different angles.
Yes, I think I did a quick search, you know, as usual, my shallow research usually pays off. And I just, you know, I look for, you know, best ways to think outside the box. Because I think we're now sitting in my second question, which is the best ways to think outside the box. And it was interesting because it made me smile because it came back with five. Well, the first thing I found came back with life anyway. And it was brainstorm with colleagues. And we know there's techniques to do that because that's one of the things of the challenge of actually getting people to think beyond parameters. And this particularly reminded me the one that's always fun. I remember, you know, showing it to my kids the first time and getting them to solve it. It's the famous, you know, the one with the nine dots in a box.
Oh, yeah.
3x3, and the only way, and the idea is you've got to join them up with one line, and the only way you can do that is to take the line outside of the nine box. But because people see those, that, you know, the creation of a visible box by the 3x3 dots, they feel they should be constrained, and that's where people struggle. So that is one thing. I think the brainstorming, then there was the widen your scope of relevance. It's working backwards from the goal, which is sort of the general area you were going in. You're asking someone outside your field again. That's kind of, you mentioned that one. But the one I love most of all was ask a child. Ask a child what they think.
Yeah. Well, it's right. Do you remember many years ago, there was an apocryphal tale, and I hope it's true, that one of the big management consultancies would set their graduates very esoteric questions. And it would be something like, there's a huge bear in the fridge.
Okay.
How do you get it out? And though, you know, the initial perception of the sort of the graduate was coming up with all these amazing techniques for how you would actually do that. How would you get an enormous bear out of a small fridge? And so those very open sort of creative questions were designed to see how people tackle problems. But of course, one of the best answers is you open the door and let it out.
Yes, of course. Well, it's a bit like it's a wonderful scene in the very first Men in Black when he's being recruited and they give him something, a form to fill in. They've got pens, but there's nothing to lean on. And he overcomes this by, there was a table, a heavy table, and he just grabbed it and dragged it all over to where he was sitting with much noise and glaring from everybody else. But he solved it. He just had something to lean on. I found that one quite amusing.
Yeah. No,
it's all about being constrained, isn't it? And fighting that constraint.
Well, and it's interesting how these sort of techniques can go to the extreme. So have you ever read a book called The Dice Man?
Yes,
it's
I have.
A 70s book. George Cockcroft, I think it was. It's a story about a psychiatrist who starts to make life decisions on a throw of a dice. Became a bit of a cult classic. And, you know, it was an experiment. It was a social experiment to see whether actually you could exist by living your life completely randomly, which I always thought was quite interesting.
Yeah.
And you know, those random techniques sort of made their way into, you know, every field of life. You know, think about Jackson Pollock, his splatter paintings, where, you know, the art is created by random chance. I think we talked about it before, that composer who superimposed the star map onto a musical score and wrote a score, Cage, I think it was, John Cage. And then, the Impressionists or the Dada movement that preceded the Impressionists, where, you know, you went from formal representation of life to interpreted it, you know. But, you know, the person that first did that, the first person that thought that, actually, I'm not going to do a beautifully realistic painting, I'm going to put lots of dots together and represent life, you know. Picasso deciding what a great idea it will be to represent the human face from two dimensions rather than three. And one of the one of the realities of thinking outside the box, when people do that, you know, a lot of people just think they're mad because, you know, it's weird. It's never been done before. And what's the relevance? Look at the Turner Prize. Look at how people respond really negatively to what is a creative sort of shop window, I suppose, for the artistic world. But actually that leads on to the question about how do you know it's good art or not. But I think often with these ideas, you don't know until much later as to whether they were good or not. At the time, I think it's sometimes very hard to assess whether true creativity is genius or madness.
Yeah. I'd imagine the very first Banksy that was painted, people just thought it was bloody graffiti and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I suppose speaks to your question about how far outside the box do you want to go?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. That seems
like that.
You are such a professional.
That's you see what I did there, Peter?
Yeah, absolutely. What you did was you realised at the time the clock is ticking and we should move on to question number three. And the audience won't even notice that movement. That was brilliant.
Well, though we have pointed it out, though, to be fair. So, starting from that idea that creativity, you know, is a great starting point for solving problems, as we talked about before, you know, ideas are cheap, so you want to have as many as possible and then apply them back to your scenario. But at some point, you know, and it actually is where we started with Squid many years ago, at some point you use all these techniques to create a range of options, but at some point you actually have to make a decision to go off and do something, don't you? Mm-hmm. We talked yesterday, didn't we, the art of war and the quote about the fact that strategy without tactics is the noise without defeat, I think was one of the phrases, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It wasn't given. So, it was our last podcast, but, you know, I know time means nothing to you.
That was an ABBA song, wasn't it?
We're not going down that. Although
No, perhaps not.
I did go and see the ABBA Voyage concert. It was amazing.
What was it?
Yeah.
Who was your favourite, Peter?
Oh, the girls.
Well, both of them?
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. We're going off to a strong tangent, but yes, you shouldn't get overexcited by holograms, but I did.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know there were holograms.
The ABBA Voyage is it's an entire concert where they're not there. It's unbelievably incredible what they can do, and it's an amazing experience. But they are all holograms and they interact with each other and they interact with the audience. It's it's amazing. But we have digressed from that. Yeah. But hey, it's a good example. You know, the ABBA guys and girls, I mean, at some point they must have had a real out of the box thinking process, going, you know what, we're getting old and we don't want to tour the world anymore. We've done that. What can we do? I know, let's create a show that can go around the world. And thousands of people can see it, and we can continue to make millions of money and make people happy, but we don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, no, a great example of creativity, you know, working for them and for the audience as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And so coming back to how far outside the box is sort of reasonable, if that's the correct phrase, I think there's something to do with understanding, acceptability, usability. There's something to do with how applicable is the sort of extrapolation of the ideas. Because it's like going back to my artistic sort of thought process again. If an artist creates a piece of work but never shows it, I'd argue it's probably not art, i.e. it needs a viewer to become real in the world. Otherwise, it's something else.
That's a bit tree falling in the middle of the forest.
It is. It is. It is. But isn't that also true of some of the esoteric ideas that actually, if they don't have a home in the world at some point, if they don't sort of live, then they're useless. Now, doesn't mean having them is useless, because I think the process of having all these suggestions and ideas and a variety of paths is a good one. But the ideas that aren't chosen, or the ideas that aren't understood, or the ideas that are too wacky to be used, or the ideas that never sort of land and grow, they're perhaps too far outside the box.
That's an interesting thought. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, where I was going to go with it was, you know, I think you can go too far out of the box for the organization that you're probably working for, and I'll bring it back to kind of a business environment. But, you know, we've seen it. They do it in a controlled way. And, you know, the creation of think tanks, the creation of skunk works. I mean, you know, you and I both work for an organization that shall remain nameless, about who kind of, you know, actually created a new team to create their own competition to look at the future potential of the products that they were developing. And that was a way outside the box, but in a very controlled way.
Yeah. Yeah. And in some respects, you could argue it actually wasn't outside the box. There were just two boxes, weren't there? And they were, they had different purposes, but the original thought processes, well, yeah, I think that was creative.
Yeah. I think it was. And so it was kind of like a safety net to extreme creativity.
It actually, you reminded me of another Terry Pratchett quote, thinking about, you know, if an artist doesn't display their work, is it art? You know, if the branch falling off the tree in the forest is not heard, did it happen? Do you remember that Terry Pratchett quote? Forgive me if I got this wrong. It's not worth doing something unless someone somewhere would rather you weren't doing it.
yes. Another classic, Terry. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've gone on an interesting journey. I feel I've stolen some of your next podcast material there, so you're going to have to rethink. I think it's been fun. And I think we had a little bit of banter. I did get some feedback from another listener, actually, who said that you didn't insult me on the last podcast.
Which I didn't.
No, you didn't. So if you want to have two goes this time, feel free.
I don't insult you to order, Peter. You know, you need to do something that sort of triggers me.
Okay.
Well, and you've been very well behaved this time.
Okay. Well, I feel that's a brilliant time to bring the podcast to a close on the grass. Insulted. We both mentioned our books, and you know, I think we've had a great conversation around boxes and thinking inside and outside them. And
yes.
Yeah. And thank you for that. So I'm going to close with another Terry Pratchett quote. And this one's all about having an open mind. And Terry said, the trouble with having an open mind, of course, is that people would insist on coming along and trying to put things in it.
That speaks back to all those, you know, those regimented ways of thinking that we were trying to avoid with our various creative techniques, which are available in the Creative Cookbook, which will soon be available.
Publishers, please contact us straight away. We would, we're going to write them the Squid of Despair somehow.
So I was going to ask you that. I know you're trying to finish, but our reader, our listener, you know, has a 30-minute drive to work. So, you know, he's got another.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
Is this going to become a book?
Like music, if you like, and just fill the gap. No.
Is this going to become a book, Peter? Is this going to be book 30?
No, I've already written book 30, so this would be book 31. Book 31 is already commissioned for next year, so this will probably be book 32 if it happens. I'm willing to give it a go. I think we're building up a good backlog of audio thought, and you know, I think we could make a bold step into a new world where we can get one of those new AI tools that actually analyze the text and reproduce it in a format that could be consumable by a reader, and we wouldn't actually have to do anything.
Well, and you know, one of my other creative techniques, as you probably remember, I've really bad handwriting, and a lot of my really good ideas come from trying to read back what I've written, not understanding it, and creating new links because I couldn't quite understand the word I'd written. And maybe an AI tool would do the same. It would take some of our words, create new words from them, and you know, we'd have a whole different interpretation of what we were trying to say. So I think that's a great
idea. That could definitely. That's just reminding me of there's a, you know, in my home life, there's a degree of randomness because my writing is also terrible. And I do write things up on the notepad on the fridge for when we run out of certain food items. And then Juliet comes along and translates it. And it's amazing what different things turn up in house as a result of that process.
Well, why is your writing bad, Peter?
I don't know. It's always been bad. I think it's impatience. I can write neatly, but incredibly slowly. And the thoughts come out far too fast for me to do that. I can type way faster than I can actually write, of course. So, you know, I've taken to the keyboard for most of my life.
Interesting. Well, there we go.
Why is yours bad then?
I think mine is probably bad because I think my spelling used to be atrocious. And I found out that if I sort of, you know, if I wasn't sure it was an I or an E, I'd just sort of scribble it. And so, you know, it could be whatever, you know, and allow the reader to fill in the gaps.
Yeah,
in
but the downside to that is you now use, you know, you now create this digitally and we can see all the spelling mistakes.
Well, the spell checker, Peter. I mean, there are tools available.
There are certainly, yes, true, absolutely. Oh, I feel I'm getting my own back here. I think I'm insulting you. So I think that ticks the box of insults. I've insulted your spelling. And
yeah, you're going to insult at least one of our listeners who will be upset by this.
So I think we've made it to 30 minutes, which ticks the box for listener number one. And there's been some insults that ticks the box for listener number two. Listener number three, if there's something you'd like, please reach out to us. And we'd happy to try and incorporate it in the next episode.
But we will. And I'll have to rethink completely what I was going to do.
Sorry about that.
No, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. And it's a bit spooky, actually, how close your session was to what I was going to do. So I will think again.
Yeah, outside the box, yeah?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, brilliant. There we go. Well, thank
Thanks,
you,
Peter.
Thank you.
See you soon. Bye.
You've been listening to an unusual podcast from David Ayling Smith and Peter Taylor. More information can be found at www.squidofdespair.com.